Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 67, and I am Libby, your host, and we have returning guests.
Hello, I am Josh from Los Angeles.
Hello, I'm Marcia, sitting in Encino.
And Peter from the Valley.
We're all in the Valley.
Yeah, I know. I just want to say something different.
All right. This week we have just one piece of news. It's for sci-fi people, it's rather significant.
It's sad.
It is that Doctor Who will be taking a break for 2012, and we will not be getting any new Doctor Who till 2013.
Yeah, what I've been hearing is they might do a couple specials, but it's going to be towards the end of 2012. So they're going to have like a little bit at the end of 2012 leading into the next season in 2013.
Right. And it's mainly, the word is that Stephen Moffat wants to concentrate on Sherlock, which...
I'm okay with that.
I am too, because truthfully, I enjoy Sherlock more. So there's
And I can understand that because right now both Martin Freeman and now Benedict Cumberbatch are in New Zealand for The Hobbit.
Oh, they're both in The Hobbit?
Yep. It's officially announced Benedict Cumberbatch will be doing the voice of Smaug the Dragon.
Oh, he's just a voice. All right, that's fine.
But that's cool because now when you see Bilbo and Smaug, it's going to be Sherlock and Watson.
All right. The first thing we want to talk about is Game of Thrones. This is the penultimate episode. It is the one that has been getting all kinds of... feedback, and
the internet's been exploding this week over this episode.
Not just the internet. I heard HBO got a bunch of calls, too. Like,
I'm sure.
People were saying, I'm going to cancel my HBO. And I'm like, what do you expect them to do? Bring them back from the dead so that you don't cancel
it's a fantasy show. It can happen.
I am so glad I didn't read the book first. I'm glad that I'm reading the book afterwards because that really ripped me. That I did not expect to happen.
No, me neither. And when I read it in the book, that scene in the book is shown from Arya's perspective.
Right.
And she turns away, so you never actually see, or like, the description of it is never, it's never actually described to you. You just hear her hearing it, so you think, oh, maybe there's a chance it didn't happen.
No, I actually didn't think that at all.
Well, I thought that for a while until other stuff happens in the second book where I'm like, okay, yeah, he's
dead.
Well,
not even in the second book. It's the fact that... Sansa, who did watch it, like, passes out, and she talks about, and in the second book, they have the head on the spike.
Yeah, I know, that's sort of what sealed it for me. Up until then, I was in denial.
Oh, okay.
I was just like, no, he can't be dead. He can't be dead. And then Joffrey takes Sansa up and, like, shows her his head on a pike, and I'm like, oh, jeez.
But, yeah. But
it does show that the new king does have, he has balls.
No,
he's crazy.
No, it doesn't show he has balls.
No, he's not doing what his mother wants him to do.
Yeah, but he's doing
what he wants to do.
That makes him more of a liability, though, because he's really there as sort of a pawn for Cersei.
Right, and the thing is it's not so much that he has balls. It's if you think about why did he do it. He didn't do it so much to prove that I won't tolerate traitors. I think he did it. Look, he was looking at Sansa's face as he was doing it. He was trying to be cruel to her more than anything else.
Yeah.
So that's not I have balls. It's I am a cruel and evil person.
Joffrey is a completely irredeemable person, and I don't know. No, I don't. I won't say he has balls.
I think he does because he went up against his mother, and he knows better to do than to do that. He knows what his mother's capable of.
Not really, because she's never done anything to him. Yeah. He has no
idea.
She's
coddled him his entire life.
Yeah, he has no idea what she's capable of. He doesn't know she killed his not father.
Yeah.
She doesn't know that she killed Jon Arryn. He has no idea. He thinks she spoils him. That's the only thing he sees, which is why it's not that impressive that he defied her.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Peter, you've been very quiet.
Because I haven't read the books, I also was like most of my friends that I work with, I was thinking the same as Josh, that I was like, oh, is he not dead? Is there a way that he's not, you know, so, but then obviously when I talked to you, you were like, no, he's dead. So obviously that did disappoint me, but it shocked me. But now I'm nervous because I kind of thought of him as the anchor of the show, and I'm like, well, now what are they going to do? You know, it is a bold move though. I'll give them that. But I am, and I would agree also that, I think Joffrey is, I've never really thought Joffrey's very interesting. So my fear is I don't want him in the second season to be made into what is, you know, like the big bad, because I don't think he's that interesting of a character.
I keep telling you this. He's not the big bad.
No.
He's not even close to the big bad.
Yeah. It's weird though, because he did the worst thing. So it's kind of weird that he's not important.
Yeah, but he did it out of petulance.
Yeah. Yes, he did. That's true. So, my biggest fear was, and I told this to Olivia because she's read the book, is I keep wondering if the finale, which will air, you know, Sunday or whatever, is going to be somewhat of a dramatic letdown to what we just saw, because so much happened in this episode. No. This is a big episode.
This is a big episode.
Yeah, but the next episode is bigger.
The finale is going to be mostly set up for what's going to happen in the second season.
So it is just set up.
It's not just set up,
but there's some game changers that happen.
It's a big stuff happens.
Can you top decapitating the lead character?
Yes, it does. Yes, trust me.
Yeah, all right. I can't wait then.
Yeah, like, the final scene blew my mind.
Yeah.
All right.
We're not done. I will hint: we are not done with all the deaths. It's not done. So,
oh God, I'm not that deep into the second book yet. I don't know who else is going
to. No, I'm not talking about the second book. I'm talking about this
one. Oh, never mind then. Wait,
I'm talking about just the book one.
Yes, I am. And I said, we're not done with character death. So
yeah, there is
so
one more.
So brace yourself.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And but it does, it does end well.
Yeah.
I thought that the last couple of scenes dealing with everything, I was like, I felt very satisfied.
Yeah, I love what they do with John.
Well, let's not get into that. Yeah, we're just talking about this particular episode.
Yeah.
We talk about what happened to John this week, which was
he gets the word.
He
gets the sword, yeah.
What did you say, the word?
The word about Ned getting captured, and then...
Well, he doesn't know that he's dead yet.
No one knows that he's dead yet.
Oh, yeah, because that just happened. At the end of the episode.
But he speaks with Maester Aemon and finds out that he's actually a Targaryen.
Right.
Which was, like, a huge reveal.
I thought that was fantastic, but what's so funny is I talk to people who haven't read the book and they don't know who the Targaryens are. I was like, it's Daenerys, and it was like, oh, because the names, people have a hard time keeping track of the names.
There are a lot of characters, there are a lot of names, and yeah, mostly you just hear Daenerys. The only person who ever refers to her as a Targaryen is Robert.
Does anybody know what that old guy actor is from? I know I've seen him
in a million things, and I can't name one of them. Oh, wait, I can name one thing. The original British version of Death at a Funeral.
I have not seen that. Okay. I haven't seen that either.
he plays the grumpy old uncle, and he was great. And Peter Dinklage was in that too. Fantastic.
Wheelchair? He was the old uncle in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
Who had to go to the bathroom?
Yes.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
But I like the reveal because the whole point of that speech was that John wants to go help Rob fight in the war, mm-hmm. but he's forgetting the fact that if any brother of the Black leaves his post, he is summarily executed.
His life is forfeit, pretty
much. Yeah, he basically gets his head chopped off.
And that's like the big dilemma, because like basically your old life is over. It no longer exists for you. It no longer matters for you.
Right. You can't, you can't just go run off when your family needs you.
Right.
And that was the point with the Targaryen. He's like, his entire family got slaughtered.
Yeah, my entire family got slaughtered and exiled, and I had to sit up here and do nothing.
Right.
So he made a comment about because of his age.
Right.
By the time it happened, he was already too old to do anything of any importance.
Yeah, but that's actually what's interesting is they actually left a piece of the book out, because the book actually says there were two points in his life where he was tested. One, when he was young enough to do something, and the second, when he was too old to do anything.
Yeah.
So they actually left the first part out. But so he was tested twice, and both times he managed to stay on the wall, and he's trying to give John some inspiration.
Yeah.
And he was like, but every man has to make his own choice.
Right, and John's going to have to make his. Will he or will he not stay on the wall?
Right. And that's all really interesting.
Because he also has his own personal mission on the wall, which is to find Benjen.
Right.
And we have to see where that goes.
And I liked it. I thought it was interesting that the Knight Commander gave him his sword, because the swords of Valyrian steel are a big deal.
Yeah. What was the name of it? Longclaw?
Something Claw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arya is, they truncated her piece from the book showing, because in the book they show exactly how starved she is, and here they give you the quick version, but I think that was still okay.
It still worked for me.
Yeah. Peter.
No, I would agree. I mean, I didn't read the book, but I got the point that she was starving and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, they also, the other thing was the other kids that were orphans and living on the street were all trying to, like, bully. Like, they stole all her stuff, and they were trying to bully her, and the only thing she managed to keep a hold of was her sword, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, everything else that she had that she took with her all got stolen. So that's why she's eating pigeons and eating rats and stuff.
But in the show, they don't show her taking any stuff other than the sword with her when she runs away.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I guess it works in context like that, because like it really was like as soon as the Lannisters came in and started grabbing everybody, she knew she had to hightail it out of there and just left.
Right. Right. Well, I think in the book she pretty much, because all her stuff was sitting there.
Right.
So she basically just took some jewelry to sell to get some money. And she took a couple of pieces of clothes because they were all just sitting there. So it didn't actually take her much longer.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
With the pace the show is going, I think it's good that they truncated that out so they could keep the flow.
Right. And I liked the one thing they did add that I thought was a nice touch was that Ned saw Arya standing on that statue.
Yeah.
And then sent the brother in black to go get her.
Yeah.
So like that was a nice... I mean, the same thing happens in the book. Like, the guy sees Arya and he grabs her and gets her to safety.
But it seems more just like a lucky coincidence.
Right. And this time, it's like, no, Ned Stark sees her and sends the guy. And I was like, okay, that worked. I thought that worked better.
And yeah, that worked. That totally worked for me.
I have a like that that he didn't just see her, but she saw her dad, too.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that was even more touching that they had that last moment together.
I agree, and that isn't in the book where like the two of them connect. Make eye contact right before he dies.
Right. Because Sansa is like still got her blinders on and she still thinks that everything is going to work out perfectly because she begged, right? And she's thinking, I saved my dad's life. And
yeah. And you know, to be fair, she did do everything right.
Oh, she did.
She begged for his life. Joffrey even said, if Ned confesses, I will grant him mercy.
Right.
So everything went according to plan, and it was Joffrey who turned.
Well, that's because, like I said, he's cruel. He's a cruel child. He's one of those people that pulls wings off of butterflies.
And this is the moment that like really finally takes those blinders off of Sansa, because she realized Joffrey is not an honorable man.
Right.
Because she's used to her father. She's used to Ned Stark, a man who will keep his word.
Right.
She's not used to somebody who won't.
And I think she actually saw how cruel he was in that moment, too. So all of that just kind of, like, now her eyes are open and she sees him.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like that. Except now she's in a very bad place.
Now she's trapped.
Yeah. As a question, has anybody read all the books?
I'm still in the second book.
So am I.
I think, Libya, you do know some people who have, they're just not here on the podcast.
Right.
That is correct.
Because I wonder if the whole story is about the Stark family. That's what I'm starting to wonder. If like, if this event, you know, losing their father will really shape Arya and what's the other girl's name?
Sansa.
And I'm wondering if that's like, in a way, I wonder if that's going to be a big part of the entire series, you know?
No. We were talking about this at a get together a week ago, and people who have read all the books said that there was some stuff in there that it was like, why is this even here? Why is half of a book about a family we don't care about? That you want it to be more about the Stark family, and then you find that it wanders off in a totally different direction for a while.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
The second book does open on a completely different storyline that you don't know anybody in it.
But it makes sense, though. Considering how the first book ends, it makes sense that we learn about this particular family. It's totally logical.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So
yes.
I don't know why people are complaining about it. I'm
not complaining about it.
I think, not you specifically.
Yeah. Well, I think it shows that the story is
bigger,
much broader based than just the Starks.
Yes, that's true. Because if you think about it, it's not just the Starks. We spent all this time with Daenerys, Mm-hmm. And we spend, so we do spend a lot of time with the Starks.
We spend a lot of time with Tyrion.
With Tyrion.
True.
And we spend a lot of time with Daenerys.
Yeah.
So there's three, I would say, the Starks, Daenerys, and Tyrion. It's because we really don't see any of the other Lannisters that other than from his point of view.
Right.
And then we see the House Targaryen through Daenerys' point of view.
Right.
Though the Starks, we see it through all the Starks, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Like, almost every Stark gets a point of view.
Yeah, I mean, the Starks are probably the most represented of all the families, but they're not the only, they're not the center of it.
Yeah, you'll as the politics get bigger and more complicated, you'll see kind
what
of
is,
it's bigger.
What's the name of the series? The whole series is called what?
Song of Ice and Fire.
I was going to say it the reverse. I was going to say Fire and Ice.
Everybody does, and I'm always tempted to do that too, but it's Song of Ice and Fire.
And the second book is A Clash of Kings?
Yes.
Yes, and that will become clear by the when you get to the finale. We can talk about that next week, why it's called that, because it'll totally make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, good story. I can't wait for the finale. And
we haven't talked about Tyrion this episode.
Oh, Tyrion and his war. War, right.
Yeah.
The best thing ever was because I didn't know how they were going to show the war, but they managed to do it in a funny and interesting way. Yeah.
And I was okay with how they truncated it the way they did.
Yeah, I liked that too. I thought that was really good.
This is always it's always been my complaint with a HBO series like this that they have all this build up to a battle and then they don't show the battle and they sort of gloss over it. Like they did that in Rome many times, and it always kind of bugged me. But the way they did it in this worked.
Right.
With Tyrion getting knocked out as soon as he rushes into battle.
Well, yeah, well, because we were seeing it from his perspective.
Right.
So if he's knocked out, then we don't get to see it.
Right.
You know, so I thought that was pretty good.
The only thing that bugs me is that in the battle, in the book, Tyrion pulls this awesome move.
I know.
Which, unfortunately, we didn't get to see.
Yeah, Tyrion, he gets injured, but he ends up killing this guy in this bizarre way that only Tyrion would think of.
That only Tyrion could ever do.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But well, I was okay with it.
How Tyrion's father, when he said, you're going to lead them in the vanguard, he said, if you want to kill me, why don't you just do it?
Right,
right.
I think he's also under the impression that this is how his father's going to get rid of him.
Well, yeah.
Well, it's putting him in the vanguard, basically he's putting him at the front. He's like, why would you put your own son at the front of the battle, like
because,
that makes no sense.
Because he wants Tyrion gone, pretty much. Like,
right.
He wants Tyrion out of the way, and then Tyrion wins the day.
Right, and then he's like, oh.
And what I like, and I don't know, they didn't have that scene in this episode. They might.
I think
in
it's
the
gonna
coming
be next
episode
week.
Where like Tywin finally realizes there is some real value to Tyrion.
Right. Yeah, because his father has basically dismissed him his whole life. His father hasn't spent any time with him to learn anything about him. Mm-hmm. All he sees is that he's not big enough to be a great soldier like Jaime.
Right.
That's all he sees. But Tyrion now has a value, and he's like, all right, you're my son. Let's see you do something.
Right. And so in the second book, he gives him some really big stuff to do.
Yeah, yeah. Second book is awesome.
Yeah.
For Tyrion, especially. All right,
oh, yeah.
So let's move on, because we talked about this for a while. Let's move on for The Killing, the penultimate episode of The Killing.
And finally, we're back into the investigation.
Yes. Well, I mean, I didn't mind the personal.
Yeah, actually, I thought the week before was way better than this one. I liked getting to know the characters more.
I agree.
Well, we talked about this last week. I liked it, but I wished it had happened much earlier in the season.
Well, yeah.
I would agree there. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but so this week we're all dealing with the investigation on who was she talking to, what was the agency she was working for, and that her aunt was the worst aunt ever.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
She was like, oh, what's the big deal? I gave her a fake ID to go into a bar. I was like, she's 16.
Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me? She's like, oh, her mom was so mean to her. I was like, this is why this child is not your child. If it was your child, then sure, you can give her fake IDs. You give fake IDs to your niece? I was like, are you kidding? And exposes her to the whole dating online. And
yeah, that whole Beausoleil girl
thing.
Yeah,
I was like,
nice. underage escorts.
I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Her aunt sucks. And I was like, I was waiting for someone to tell the mom that the aunt's the one who introduced her to all that stuff.
I'm hoping that happens next week.
Oh my goodness.
Because like after that, like I would love to see Michelle Forbes just like
beat
tear into her. I would pay good money to see that happen.
Oh man. Well, and that's why she's feeling guilty and got got the husband out. I'm hoping they're not going to say that the aunt and the husband have been sleeping together, because that'll just...
That'll ruin it for me.
Yeah, I hope not. That's not where that's going.
Oh, I didn't think of that. I hope that's not what's going to happen. I didn't think that.
I don't think it's going to happen either, and I'm really hoping that they don't take it there.
It was just the way she reacted to, oh, I left him in jail. And she's like, how could you do that? And she's like, oh, because he did blah, blah, blah. And she's like, we can't. And she got more worried about him than I thought than a sister would be in that situation.
Well, so, I sort of chalk that up to she's very close with them anyway.
Yeah, but I just, I don't know, I got nervous.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say for the record, I hope you're wrong.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, me too.
That's totally fine. I hope I'm wrong as well. As far as the big reveal that it's the... is he a senator?
He's a councilman.
Councilman. The big reveal that the councilman is the killer, I wanted to shoot someone.
Unless,
of course, I mean, and we could be wrong, unless, of course, this somehow he isn't the killer. I don't know how he couldn't be, but, like... I keep hoping they can think of a reason, because you and I both kind of called either that it was going to be him, or you were calling that it was going to be the his assistant.
That's what I'm thinking.
I thought it was the assistant. I never called him because he was so ridiculously obvious.
Yeah. Well, right. Well, only because in the pilot, the first time you see, I'm almost positive, the first time you see Rosie's dead body, the next cut is him in a grave. I mean, so I'm in my head, I was like, I hope it's not him, because that's too literal, you know, right. Like, so... Yeah.
And if they made it him after all this whole mystery thing and people voting online who the killer is, I was like, are you kidding?
If they do your move, though, I would still find that kind of disappointing, because we've seen that. Because I think yours is you're thinking, oh, he's sleeping with her. That's what the photos are. And then the woman that he's sleeping with finds out, somehow kills her, I don't know, by accident or in jealous rage, and then he covers it up. I still wouldn't find that satisfying. I would just be like, who cares? Like, that would be lame.
That's true, but it's still better than him doing it. The only thing that, if he did do it, there's indication that he also killed his wife.
Right.
So, yes, that's true. And although I will say, you know, I've been thinking about it, and a part of me feels like they might have been better served if it was the computer hacker.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Because he's in the story the whole time. We don't really think about him. And, oh, that's a surprise. Like, I'm like, oh, all right, that might have been. But clearly that's not it. You know?
Right.
So,
right, yeah.
Yeah, they were lead at the beginning of the episode. They made you think it was him. And I was like, oh, okay. And I actually was thinking that might be good because he's a millionaire. How are you going to bring him down?
Right.
Right.
I was like, oh, I didn't guess him. It's not him. And I was like, what?
I sort of felt like the story would be better if it was him, or if they had indicated or that it was him, or maybe, like, you know, maybe it's him and Richmond together.
Well, that's what I thought happened. Like, that guy killed the girl and then went to Richmond and was, like, covered up for me, and then Richmond covered it up, and that's why he gave him that $5 million.
Like, right.
So, like, that made sense to me, and I was like, oh, okay, that works. And then they didn't do it, and now they're like, it's Richmond.
They still might.
I mean, theoretically.
We still have another episode, and, you know, shows like this, they're probably going to do some kind of twist right at the very end.
All I know is if it ends the way it looks like it's ending right now, F.
Well, I don't know if I give it an F, but definitely like a C minus.
I say F.
But I'm hoping that there is another twist to come. And that the final episode is not just going to be them trying to bring him down.
Well, that's what they said in the preview. They were like, "And how are we going to bring him down?" And I was like, oh.
"Well, we're going to have that." But what I'm hoping is that there's like some sort of twist reveal that it wasn't Richmond; it was somebody else.
Okay.
I heard that someone said because I watch it on the app, the iTunes, but somebody told me that in the promo on AMC, it said something like, and you won't believe the last 5 minutes. So that makes me think there is a huge twist at the end.
Really? In the last 5 minutes?
It goes something like the last 5 minutes, and then it cuts to black and you hear Lyndon say, you're under arrest for the murder of Rosie Larson. So that makes me go, oh, there is a huge twist at the end. But I haven't seen this promo. That's just what I heard.
I saw the promo, but mine didn't end that way. And maybe my TiVo got cut off, but whatever. All right, let's move on. The next thing I want to talk about quickly is In Plain Sight did a big reveal that I know none of you guys are watching it.
No, I'm not watching it.
The big reveal was that Mary is pregnant. And my big concern, I was like, so is she pregnant on the show? Is she pregnant for real? Like, what's going on? And I feel like I need to find... for some reason, I actually want to know. Usually, I don't want to know this information, but she's the main action star.
Right.
So if she's pregnant for real, I'm like...
That's going to make for a very weak season.
Yeah. Like, oh, this could suck. But I'm hoping that she's not really pregnant, that it's just for the show. Because if it's just for the show, they can do anything. If she's really pregnant, we are confined to very specific things. So, right. Anyway, the storyline was all right this week, but that was my main concern. Since nobody else watched it, that's all I'm going to say about it.
Okay.
All right, next, we want to talk about White Collar.
This was a good one.
Yes. This was their... The whole thing was getting back to normal. That should have been, like, the tagline.
Yeah.
Because they had been distrusting each other, or all like the last week's episode, there was like lie detectors and all kinds of stuff.
And it actually, made me sad.
It did. And this week they're all about working together, solving the case, but still behind each other's backs. But
yeah, still like Peter is now speaking to this art crimes special agent.
And Neil was smart.
Neil knows about it, and so he's talking to her,
yeah,
trying to get information out of her. Meanwhile, Mozzie's trying to fence the stuff.
Oh, right. And then he found out we can't fence the stuff or we're screwed.
Well, only stuff from the first page of the inventory.
Well, they don't know which page it is.
Oh,
they right. only know it's a page.
A page, yeah.
Yeah, and even if they knew it was the first page, if they don't have the inventory, they don't know it's on the first page, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, that's true.
So it's all about some of the stuff they
know. That's Neil's new mission, find out which page they have.
Right. His new mission is to get a look at that page. Uh-huh. But
which of course means breaking into the FBI.
Right. Yes. Assuming that Peter hasn't hidden the page somewhere in his house or something, but
which is certainly possible. I'll bet you it's on like Satchmo's collar or something like that.
But I like that they're both trying to outsmart each other without the other person knowing that I know what you're doing. Like, all that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
What was the case this week?
It was this will that
had... Oh, like, the puzzle!
Yeah, it was like a very Da Vinci Code kind of episode.
That was the epic fail moment, like, where I actually was watching the screen and I went, epic fail. Like, they're trying to steal the manuscript.
Yeah.
And they put the hole in there and the whole thing disintegrates.
Right, yeah.
And I was just watching.
That was awesome. Just the look on their faces. Like, oh God, what did we do?
Yes. And I was like, wow, I've never seen them fail like that before. So I actually was like, wow.
But, I mean, what's cool was, like, they were consistently being outsmarted by this dead millionaire.
Right. It was
which
great.
Was really cool because it was like... It was like finally a puzzle that was worthy of Neil and Mozzie.
Right. It was a pretty good puzzle, I have to say.
Yeah, it was.
And only thing I called foul on was I was like, Peter is an expert on sextants? Sextants. I was like, I don't think so.
How has this not come up in the last two seasons?
I was like, how is he an expert on this? And he's like, look, you said I'd never use it. And I was like, yes, that was a valid assumption.
Yeah.
That you would never have
Who
to use.
Who uses a sextant anymore?
But the fact that he knew how to use one that well,
yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me? But I was like, all right.
Yeah, it felt like something Mozzie would know,
yeah.
But not Peter.
And that's like somebody knowing how to use an abacus really, really well. Like, because there's an art to it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know anyone who knows how to use an abacus.
Nah, me neither.
But anyway, it was a good episode.
It was a good episode, and like I totally called it in the beginning where like they realize there's a puzzle on the will, but the sons don't want to go into it, and I knew Neil and Peter were going to be like, we need to just follow this ourselves,
yeah.
Whether or not they want us to.
And that was the most fun when they were acting like little kids trying to solve the puzzle. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool.
But you know, then it gets serious with the daughter getting kidnapped. Oh,
right.
William Sadler is the guy who kidnaps her, which it was cool to see him.
It was pretty good. It was like the whole, she's like, I asked him for money and he told me to make a plan and see it through. He's like, so I did. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not what he meant.
I'm sure he meant like invest wisely.
Yes. And then Neil, I like Neil's comment on, it's really easy to do the crime. The hard part is getting away with it.
Yeah.
And I was like, nice.
Yeah.
So all that was, they had some really good lines.
Yeah.
All right.
But it was good to see them, like, for the most part, go back into their old routine.
Yes. All right. Next, I wanted to talk about a couple of new pilot things. Well, this next section is basically I checked out a bunch of pilots this week for summer shows, and I don't know which one of them you guys have seen. And if you have, chime in. This is like this is gonna be like our speed round.
I don't think I've seen any of them, but I'd love to hear what you have to say.
All right, speed round goes like this. I watched the third episode of Teen Wolf, and I am out. That is not a surprise to pretty much anyone. I guessed that it wasn't going to be that good, and yeah, it's just the dialogue and everything. And actually, truth be known, what actually really happened was I saw the pilot for The Nine Lives of Chloe King.
Oh God, you mean we are? This is not Catwoman. Seriously, no, this is not Catwoman.
No, it really isn't. And I like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Nine Lives of Chloe King, I totally like. Yeah. I don't know where you got the Catwoman thing from.
She's a Catwoman.
No, it's not like that.
Okay.
It's actually pretty Buffy-like, which is what I like about it.
Yeah.
I
was like, oh, it's... Yeah, it's very much, like, I felt like she does the quips, like, while she's fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And I was actually thinking at the time, I was like, you're not quite at Buffy level yet to be doing quips. Because, like, she literally just figured out her powers, like, that day.
Oh.
So she's kind of fighting all right and kind of not. And it was, and they did the whole thing is, once every generation, you are the one that, they did the thing that.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, it's the thing that, like, there are other people that are cat-like, but only one of them has nine lives. And I was like, oh, so that's basically how they make her the Slayer. Only one. And so then she's the winner. Because in the beginning of the pilot, she gets thrown off a tower and dies. So now
there's one down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's got eight lives left.
And there's this assassin trying to kill her, and she doesn't know why the assassin's trying to kill her.
Right.
And the other people who are like her are like, well, you have to come with us and we'll tell you and explain what, you know, your powers explain.
Is there something more special about her other than the fact that she has nine lives?
Well, she's got super cool powers.
Well, she's also got the cat. Like, the beginning...
Yeah, but from what you're saying, it sounds like a lot of people have those.
Not a lot of people.
Okay.
There's a scene where she's hanging out with her friends on a bench and she's walking on the very tip of the bench and her friend's like, how are you balancing like that? She's like, I don't know, it's no problem. Like, I kind of liked that like these weird things start to come natural to her, mm-hmm. that her friends are like, wow, how can you do that? Actually, right. I thought I like that.
And it's basically you find out that she's actually an alien. Like, the people who find her are like, because she got adopted and she knows nothing about her family.
Right.
And so she knows no backstory. And so on her 16th birthday, which was the day that we're watching, like, that's the pilot, is on her birthday, all her powers just, like, turn on.
Okay.
And so all of a sudden, she can do all these things. And at first, she thought it was weird. She thought it was kind of cool and weird. But then she started, then freaking assassins show up and try to kill her. And she's like, what's going on? Uh-huh. And these guys are like, look, we came to help you. We found out that, you know, we found out who you are. We're here to bring you in to the family. And she's like, what are you guys? Who are you people? Mm-hmm. And they're like, we are descendants of Beset. I was like, the Egyptian god? and they were like, yes, we protected humanity back then. And we had a pact. But something happened and something broke that pact. And now we're hiding from humanity because there are people out there trying to kill us.
Huh.
And the other thing is, they can only mate with their own people because she kissed this guy after her powers turned on and he freaking died.
Yikes.
And so they're like, you can't. They said, oh, we were going to stop you if we thought you were going to kiss such and such. And she was like, well, I did kiss this other guy. And they were like, oh. And and then she went to his house and they were picking up his body.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, it's not a light and fluffy show.
Yeah, okay. I actually thought they were going to backpedal and actually have it be like, oh, she didn't kill him. It was actually the assassin, but they didn't. It's like, nope, she did it. I was like, all right.
She totally killed the guy.
Okay, all right.
I'm not saying Nine Lives of Chloe King is, like, best show ever, but I would agree with Libya that I was kind of like, I kind of like the show. This is pretty entertaining.
Okay. So I'll give it a look.
I basically was like, some of the dialogue, teenage stuff, was kind of irritating, but the story of who they are, why are they assassins, why does she have nine lives, who are these other people, where's their home base, and her father, obviously...
Oh, that's right, the father, right.
Yeah, the father who ran away when she was younger, he's the one who originally adopted her, but then he abandoned her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she hasn't heard from her father in years, and like on her 16th birthday, he sends her an email that says, trust no one.
Hmm. Right, that's the last, and that's the end of the episode.
Right, okay. And she doesn't know what the heck is going on. And so there's all this like story arc that they've introduced that I'm like, well, I want to know what's go-. I was like, who are these? Is what's going on with the assassin? Who is this other guy? And what's, you know, okay. like there's all this stuff that I'm really interested in. Okay. And after I saw that, I was like, Teen Wolf is gone.
Okay.
Like that just,
I mean, I don't know if I feel like, I don't know if I would agree with Libya that I think the, all this, all the revelations are necessarily going to be completely satisfying because it is an ABC family show, but my big thing was I thought the lead girl's charming and I thought it moved really well. Like to me, that's a big deal. Like I really like shows yeah. that can find their own rhythm and really engage me. And I thought it did.
Yeah. Okay. The pacing was good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the comedic quips I thought were.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. I'll check it out for next week. Yeah.
The other thing I watched is I watched The Protector. I mean, when we were going through our list of shows, right, that were, yeah. I was like, I don't know what this Protector show is. I watched that and I'm done. It basically,
it's a Lifetime show, isn't it?
It is, and I know it was a Lifetime show. I don't know why I was expecting it to be better than it was, but
because
I,
it's a woman with a baby and a gun.
Well, and she doesn't quite have a baby. She has three kids, and they're ranging in age. And I have to say, her 5-year-old or whatever is the most adorable child ever. Okay. Like I was like, oh, he's so cute, but that was not enough to make me keep watching the show.
Okay.
And it was just like a cop procedural, but not a particularly good one.
Hmm.
And you spend half the time with her being a cop, the other half the time with her and her little kids. And I was like, nah, no. I mean, her son was cute, and his whole thing was they moved to the neighborhood, so he stole all the garden gnomes, and he hid them in the garage. And she was like, okay, why did you take the garden gnomes? And he was like, to protect them, and I had to put them in a safe place. And she's like, why is a safe place our garage? And he was like, because you're here and you'll protect anything in the house.
Oh, God.
And I was like, that was so cute and adorable, but over the top and sugary and make it stop.
Yes.
So.
Oh, yeah, that's cute, but don't ever do that again.
So I was like, all right, I don't need to make that a save that as a channel.
Okay. One to miss.
Yes, one to miss. What else did I watch? Oh, Peter, you can help me out on this one. It was Love Bites. I watched half of the pilot.
I watched the pilot. I thought it was okay. Cute.
Like, I watched half of it. Like, I was watching it on Hulu and something happened and I didn't finish it.
Okay.
But
and clearly you didn't feel the urge to revisit it.
No, I was watching it like yesterday, so I didn't finish it. I meant to finish it.
It's basically, you know, a bunch of young people in, I think, different cities and Every commercial break, they kind of come up with a new little person's story about love. Is that how would you say that's the structure?
Well, yeah, because we were skipping from couple to couple, and at first I was assuming that all these people knew each other in some way, but maybe they don't. But I have to say the girl who came up with the story that she was a virgin was pretty funny because I was like, yeah, that's going to fall through very quickly.
Well, and the fact that she's a big Battlestar Galactica fan.
Oh yeah. They were making Battlestar Galactica references through that whole section. That was pretty funny.
Okay. That's
like,
cool.
Her and the guy, she said frack and he went, you like Battlestar Galactica? And she's like, okay, of course. And there's like,
that's hardly an indicator anymore. Cause I know people who have never watched an episode of Battlestar Galactica and say frack.
I know, but he did then ask he followed up with the question.
Okay. Okay.
And she was like, yes. And, then they said something about being on New Earth, whatever, Nadama, blah, blah, blah. And they were going back and forth. And I was like,
yeah,
wow.
They do the Battlestar thing a lot, which was pretty funny.
Okay, so they actually legitimately geek out over it.
Yeah, and then together, they say, so say we all.
Nice.
So I thought Love Bites was interesting. I'm not quite sure if I need to see more. Like, Peter, are you going to watch another episode?
I probably will because it's on Hulu. And you should see the last story is Greg Grunberg. Is that how you say
his
name?
Yeah.
Greg Grunberg is a guy who's going on a plane and he sees at the airport Jennifer Love Hewitt as Jennifer Love Hewitt. And his wife, he's like, oh, she was number one on my list. You know, the person that you could sleep with that's a celebrity. And actually, it was kind of cute. It was a good use of Greg Grunberg, good use of Jennifer Love Hewitt. And I was like, it's kind of funny. Like, kind of makes fun of the situation. So you should definitely finish the episode because I thought that was the strongest one.
Oh, okay.
Again, I don't know, but like, you know, best show. But I liked it. I'll probably watch the next one. Yeah.
Okay. I just hadn't finished it yet, so I wasn't quite sure. So And my TiVo already recorded a couple, the next episode, so I figure, why not?
Okay.
Oh, wait, so there's, I thought that was just the pilot, so it's aired for a few weeks then?
Yeah, it's at least 2 weeks.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that, okay. All right.
Yeah,
all right.
So the new one came on Thursday. Anyway, right,
I'll give it a look-see.
I also checked out Rookie Blue. Like, I knew the season 2 was starting this week until I set my TiVo to record season 2. Mm-hmm. But what it did, because I set it to record season, this is what I love my TiVo. Mm-hmm. Because I set it to record the premiere, it then recorded 2 repeats from season 1 on its own. And I was like, okay. And it recorded the pilot. So I was like, all right. So I watched the pilot. And
good TiVo.
I know. So I watched the pilot and I was like, all right. I really liked it. So thumbs up. And now I think I'm going to watch all of season 1 before I watch the premiere of season 2. Like, I mean, it's not the best cop drama at all. It's the premise. It's about a bunch of rookies, their first day. Like, the pilot is their first day as cops.
So basically Grey's Anatomy, but cops.
Yeah, kind of.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Except it's dramatic. Okay. I would say lighter show so far, anyways.
Yeah, and I have to say, it's not as much sex amongst the interns yet.
Okay, good.
At least at the moment.
Okay.
But I liked kind of how that came across. And like on the first day, the rookie was all happy because she found these guys that matched the description of this killer. Mm-hmm. And she found them, chased them down, managed to arrest them and everything. She was all happy. And one of the guys is like, you don't want to do this, this is a mistake. And she's like, yeah, whatever. And he goes, I'm on the job, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yeah, whatever. I was like, dude, on the job means he's a cop. Like, I'm not a cop, but I've watched enough cop shows to know that when someone says they're on the job, it means that they're a cop.
Right.
And it totally went over her head.
Oh.
And so
mistake. Rookie. Wah, wah.
Exactly. And she totally, though it wasn't her fault that his cover was blown, the problem was when they get to the police station to book him, one of the other detectives was like, hey, man, how you been? I haven't seen you in a while. And it was like, oh man.
That's got to hurt.
Yeah, that was when his cover was totally blown because he got arrested with another guy.
Oh, jeez.
And so that guy was like, so you're a cop? And I was like,
oh,
he's gone. Mm-hmm. That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I liked the little cases because each cop had their own little thing going on that day, and mm-hmm. she actually dealt with hers the best.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else had stuff going on that was wrong, that went wrong, and I was like, I could watch this.
Okay,
like, you know, it's technically a procedural, but I found them to be interesting, and I'm a fan of Everwood. I don't know if you ever watched that show.
No, I never watched it.
I'm a fan of that show, and one of the main guy from Everwood is one of the cops. So I was like, I'll give it a shot. So, to recap, the shows we are giving shots to are Chloe.
Chloe, yeah, I'm going to give a shot to Chloe.
Maybe Love Bites, that's on the fence. And
I'll check it out and see what I think.
And Rookie Blue, I'd say thumbs up.
Okay.
So that's it.
Team Wolf gone.
Team Wolf is off the map. Gone.
Protector gone.
Protector gone.
Yeah.
Oh, and next week, this Sunday is Falling Skies premieres.
Yes, can't wait.
And I didn't set my TiVo, so I need to do
that. Is that TNT?
Yes.
Okay.
So Falling Skies is Sunday, and the Kingdom Hospital? Is it something hospital? Combat Hospital.
Combat Hospital. Like Kingdom Hospital, that was that Stephen King show.
Yeah, that's why I was mixing it up. Yeah. But yeah, Combat Hospital is next week. And I saw a trailer for it and I was like,
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of wartime stuff.
Well, I'm not a big fan of hospital shows. And I like wartime stuff, and I don't know if those two things are going to mix, because it seems it's like the very serious version of MASH.
Yeah, and MASH is the only time those two have ever worked for me.
Right. So I was like, I don't know. But I kind of feel like I want to keep doing this section of giving you reports on the summer shows.
Fair enough.
So I might just, well, it's not like there's anything else on. So.
Okay, well, you take one for the team. Let us know what you think.
All right, that's about it that we have for this week. Any other comments, you guys?
Nope. I'm really excited about the Game of Thrones finale.
Yeah. We do have our poll on Facebook.
Oh, right. Thank you.
We've got a We've got two polls on Facebook right now for our summer viewing program. We've got a list of a bunch of old shows and a bunch of current shows. And I suggest you go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TV Campfire, and vote for which one you would like us to talk about. Right now, it looks like in the old shows, Star Trek TNG is sort of eking out in the lead a little bit.
I haven't even voted yet.
Yeah. Okay, I haven't either. And I made the damn polls. But yeah, go and check that out. Vote and let us know what you'd like us to talk about. Star Trek TNG.
Subliminal message not.
Yeah.
Babylon 5.
Bite me. Star Trek TNG.
All right. So we'll check out the results for the polls and we'll announce the winner next week. And then we have to start watching.
Yep.
All right. Talk to you guys next week. Oh, remember, feedback.
Yes.
TVCampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @TVCampfire. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.